Today's daf, Sanhedrin, Mem Ches.
If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Toward the end of our previous Shiur, we started a new sugya, the sugya known as Hazmona Milsehi, Olo. We noticed a Machlokes, Abaye and Rava, Abaye holding that Hazmona Milsehi, Rava on the other hand holding Hazmona Lav Milsehi. Hazmona means designating something for a specific purpose. Does that designation create a new legal reality? The focus of the discussion was the example of Ha'oreg Beged Lemes. An article of clothing is prepared for a corpse, for a dead person. We can say a preparation of shrouds for burial for a specific dead person. Does the mere preparation of the garment, the weaving of the garment, make it such that the beged, that the garment has a din of beged shelmeis, and hence osur bahano, even before it's actually used? So according to Abaye, yes, hazmona milsehi, and as a result of preparing it for a specific deceased, the beged, the article of clothing, becomes forbidden for any other pleasure. And Rava disagrees. We also encounter at this point, the upper part of Mem Ches Amud Aleph, a geometric form, the triangle. The triangle, as all the other geometric forms in our marking system, indicate a series of something, a series of whatever. In this case, we've featured a structural note in the outside margin, the Mivneh, and you'll notice a triangle form with the point facing up. That would be in the direction of indicating Hazmona Milsi, and if we bring proofs, as the Gemara will attempt to do in the course of the Sugya, if the triangle is pointing up, those will be proofs in favor of Abaye, and hence questions on Rava. If you notice a triangle pointing down, and you will notice some of them, then you'll understand that that's an indication Hazmona Lav Milsehi, like Rava, and hence a Kashan Abaye. As you skim down the sugya, you notice we've also adopted a numbering system to help you keep track. In the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text between the Gemara and the Rashi, you'll notice at the beginning of this particular series, the number 1 in a triangle with the point facing up, and as you skim down, you'll notice 1, 2, and 3, all in the direction indicating Hazmona Milsi. When you get to 4 and 5 and 6, to the lower part of the page, you'll notice Hazmona Lav Milsehi. And then if you flip over to Mem Ches Amud Beis, or for those of you who are viewing this on the screen, you'll scroll down till Mem Ches Amud Beis, you'll notice 7 is pointing up and 8 is pointing down. So with our markings, we will attempt to keep track of where we are holding at each stage. So the Gemara opens up with a parentheses line, Simen. Individual words that indicate the topics that will be coming up. So you have Kippa, Nafshei, Dechatziva, Nechisa, Deumena. The purpose of each word will gain significance as we go along. Meisvei. So now we raise a kasha on Rava. The topic that will be dealt with is the topic of Medrash Hazav. There are certain types of impurities that create that impart impurity to items that are designed for sitting on or for leaning on, for supporting body weight. And those, that's called Tumas Medrash. Sometimes I think about the word Medrash as, to remember it, you can think of the word mattress. things that are designed for leaning on, that certain types of tumah impart this status to those kind of items, beds, chairs, etc. This level of tumas medrash is a high level of tumah in the sense that it can impart further impurity unto people or people that come into contact with these elements, with these items. For example, if a zav, who is one of these sources of tumas edger, sat on a chair, and then someone else came along who was tohar and then had contact with that chair, the person having contact with it will himself become tumay. We will see in this brief source an item that gained, that absorbed tumas medrash. We'll describe a veil and an article of clothing that also can be designed for leaning on and hence absorbing tumas medrash. And this veil was then given over for the use of a Sefer Torah. The source says that upon its being designated for a Sefer Torah, the veil would be used to, let's say, cover or wrap around a Sefer Torah. Upon this mere designation, not even actual use, the veil loses its medrash status, and it gains a new status called maga medrash, whereby it's viewed as if it came into contact with itself. But for our purposes, the status of maga medrash is a notch lower in the realm of tumah severity. So what we are seeing here is that the mere designation for the Sefer Torah has significance. In other words, hazmona milsahi. After we complete the source and hence be in a kasha on Rava, Rava will answer that the idea of giving it to the Sefer Torah is not the mere designating for the Sefer Torah, but it was a function of designation and use. Let's now see this inside. Meisvei. Kipa shehu tamei medrash, a veil that had received medrash status tuma, v'nosnuhu l'sefer, and it was then designated, literally given over to a Sefer Torah, but for our purposes it means was designated for the use for a Sefer Torah, tohar minhan medrash. It loses its medrash status. Notice we've dashed, underlined the main expressions. The word nosnu for our purposes means hazmona, and tohar min hamedrash shows us that the mere designation had an effect, and it loses its medrash status without any need for immersion in a mikveh, and that's a function of hazmona milsi. Aval, even though it was given over and designated for Sefer Torah, Tomei Maga Medrash, it nevertheless has a status of that which contacted Medrash, which for our purpose means it's a notch lower in the realm of Tumah severity. This is a problem for Rava. Rava will answer, Ema Nosnuhu Vikorachto. Not only was it designated for the Sefer Torah, but it was used for the Sefer Torah. So upon actual use for the Sefer Torah, that's what removes the medrash status. But the mere designation would have had no effect. You notice now a few lines that are in brackets. We have a note. If you notice where the asterisk points, there is a note that says, Achrei hasogrim, after the brackets, Hagmora mamshicha lehovi mekoros benosei hazmona. The Gemara will continue bringing sources regarding the issue of designation. In other words, trying to settle the issue between Abaye and Rava. However, besocha sograyim, within this bracketed section, haGemara dona b'tshuvas Rava. The Gemara will start analyzing Rava's response about its not only being designated but actually put into use for the Sefer Torah. The Gemara will discuss that answer. Lama shnehem. Why is it necessary, according to Rava, for both elements to be present, namely Nosnu Vikorachto, the designation and the use? Would it not be sufficient, according to Rava, if it was merely used for the Sefer Torah, and that would have caused it to lose its medrash status? So that having been said, we turn to the Gemara text again, and we notice the brackets, and in order to determine the length of the brackets, we provide a length marker. This is a vertical dash dotted line, in this case to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. Following this, you notice again a triangle. That will be number 2 in dealing with our main issue of Hazmona Milsahi or not. That having been said, let us learn the Gemara straight through. There is no need at this point to skip the bracketed section. Lama li nosnuhu vikorachto. According to Rava, why is it necessary to have both elements, the designation of the veil for the Sefer Torah and its use in wrapping around the Sefer Torah? Would it not be sufficient for just the mere use in order for it to lose its measure status? So the Gemara answers, Keder Rav Chisda. The understanding of this will be based on Rav Chisda's teaching. Deyom Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda deals with a situation involving a piece of cloth that was converted into a sack or a bag for holding one's tefillin. People who are familiar with the common practice to this day, we have special tefillin bags. Rav Chisda is describing a situation where a piece of fabric is going to be used for that purpose. When something is used as a tefillin bag, let it be known, let it be stated that it can no longer be used for common mundane purposes. It then gains a certain level of sanctity, if you will, and is to be used only for the tefillin, but not for lesser mundane items such as a change purse. So, the Omar of Chisda, high sudra, a piece of material, the Asmene Lemetzar Bei Tfilin. Notice we have a Roman numeral number 1. There's going to be an extensive breakdown in the next few lines of Rav Chisda's teaching. So, under Roman numeral 1, we have two actions. We have this designation. For it was Asmene Lemetzar Bei Tfilin, for storing, for wrapping around tefillin as a tefillin sack, Vitzor Bei Tfilin, and he used it as well. So you have here designation and use for the tefillin. At that point, Osir Lemetzar Bei Pshiti, well then Osir to wrap in this piece of fabric, in this sudra, it will be Osir to use it for Pshiti, for coins. Asmene Velot Sarbe, notice Roman number 2, a situation where it was designated but not put into actual use. Number 3, Roman number 3, Sarbe Velo Asmene, or it was used but not designated for that. The idea being that it was used in a Kroy fashion, as Rashi says, and he just happened to use it without designating a one-time use of the sack of the cloth for tefillin, was actual use but not designated. In both cases, Roman number 2 and 3, Shori Lemetzar Bei Pshiti, it is still permitted to use it as a coin pouch. Ula Abaye Domar Hazmona Milsahi, according to Abaye, that holds the mere designation is of significance, then focusing on Roman numeral 2 that we just saw, Asmene, the mere designation, Afagav de Lotzarbe, even if it were not actually put into use, we wrote in the word between the lines, Usser, it would be Usser to use as a change purse. However, Tzarbe, if it were put into use, then, according to Abaye, it depends. We put a Roman number 3 corresponding to Rav Chisda's Roman number 3. What does Abaye say about the case of its being put into use? E Asmene in, if it had had been designated as well, then it becomes in. Yes, it is forbidden. E Loi, if it was not designated, if it was merely used, then Lo. That's E Lo Asmene, Lo. It would not be forbidden. So as far as the mere use of it, according to Abaye, mere use would not make it forbidden, and in that respect, Abaye would be like Rav Chisda. That's regard to Roman numeral 3. Toshma, so we go back to the major discussion. What is the story with Hazmona designation? Does it have an effect or not? The source describes a structure that's built over a grave, a grave marker, a structure that's, it's called here a nefesh. Nefesh shebonoi l'shem chai, muter bahano. If there was a structure that was built over a grave, but this structure was built for a living person, then it is not forbidden for Hano, for deriving pleasure from it. However, hoisif boi dimus echod l'shem meis, osir b'hano. If a dimus echod, if a row of stones was added to this structure, and the row of stones that was added for the purpose of the deceased, then it becomes usur to benefit from. So we see from this that since the added row was designated for the honor of a deceased individual, that creates isur. The Gemara feels that by bringing in this source, we have a kasha on Rava. So the Gemara, Rava would answer, Hocha b'mayaskinan, the case over here is the Rama bay mace, that a dead person, a body, was placed in this. So that you have a structure with the added row that was added in the name of for the purpose, for the honor of a dead person. And in addition to that, a dead person was put into this structure. That's what creates the prohibition. But otherwise, the mere adding of a row in honor of a particular deceased without anything further, Rava says that would not create Isser. The Gemara asks, if you're talking about a case, if this source is talking about a case where a deceased was put into this structure, then ihachi mai irya hoisif, why is it necessary to teach where a row of stones was added, kiloi hoisif nami, even if no row of stones were added? By the mere fact that a structure was constructed and then a body was put into it, its burial was in this structure, that would be enough to create prohibition. So the Gemara answers, lo itzricha. This source is necessary, afagav de panye, even if the mace was removed. Rashi explains, lo tzricha, hai hoisif, we need this case of hoisif, elo lashmi'inan, de afagav de panye le mace, lachar zman, mitocha kever, even though the mace that had been placed in the structure was subsequently removed from the structure, hakever osur bahano, this kever, this grave, would remain prohibited for other pleasures. Mishum hoisif, because of the fact that the row was added with the deceased in mind. Dahavile hazmona umaisa, because in the final picture, what do you have? You have the row being added for the mace, that's hazmona, the designation, and umaisa, and the burial of the body in there. So with these two factors, it creates a situation of permanence, that even if the body is removed, the structure will remain prohibited. De'i loy hoisif shori I panye. If there was no adding of the row of stones for the mace, namely, you had a structure that was built originally without the dead in mind, and then a body was buried in this structure, and afterwards the body was removed, the structure would gain its permitted status that it once had. As Rashi says, the ilo hoisif shori ipanya, as we read, that if there wasn't an added row for the sake of the mace, and the body would be moved, the structure would be mutter, dahavilei, then it would be considered kitsor bevelo azmane. As we saw in Rav Chisda's fill-in pouch case, it would be like the mere use without the designation, and we saw that mere use without designation does not create prohibition. Amar Rav from Bar Papa, Amar Rav Chisda, im hoya makiroi, if one had added a row of stones to that structure, the nefesh structure, and a body was buried in there, and the body subsequently removed, we said above the structure would remain prohibited. However, if one recognized the row of stones that was added for the honor of the deceased, Chaltza umutter, you could remove that added row and the structure would regain its permitted status. Toshma, we continue in our discussion. Once again, you see a triangle pointing up. This will indicate a source that shows Hazmona Milsa, the designation is of significance. Hachoitzev kever li'oviv, one who digs out or hews out a grave for his father. The holach v'kovru b'kever acher, and then he went and buried his father in another grave. Hare ze lo yikover boy oylomis. This hewed out grave that was hewed out for his father, never actually used, but it says here, is forbidden for any additional pleasure forever. So notice what we've done with our markings. We've dashed underline ha-choytziv kever lo-aviv. That's the equivalent of hazmona. And also dashed underline ha-reize lo yikover boyolomis, indicating prohibition. Hazmona milsi, and not like Rova. At this point, Rova rejects this kasha, he answers it, and we've indicated a long marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Dechia, a rejection of this source as being a kasha on Rava. The length of the Dechia is indicated by the length of the dashed vertical line. So, we continue. Hosam mishum kavod aviv. The prohibition indicated in the source we just read was a special case because of the honor due to one's father. So it's a function not of hazmona milsi, but a function of kibud av. Since it was a grave that was dug out for his father, to use it for anything else would be a violation of his father's honor, but not a reflection of a general principle indicating hazmona milsehi. Hachi nami mistabra. This is also likely the katani seifa. When let's continue reading the end of the source. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer af hachotzev avonim lo aviv. Rav Shimon Gamliel goes even further and says, even if one use stones from a mountain for the sake of creating a grave for his father, v'holach v'kovroi b'mokam acher, and then never used the hewn stones for a grave for his father because he went and buried his father somewhere else, hareze lo yikover bohen olamis, he can never use even the stones for making a grave for someone else. Shapir, if you say that the topic featured here is limited to honoring one's father, then everything makes sense. Shapir, it's fine. Elo yamris mishum hazmona. If, however, you say that the rule that governs the understanding of these sources is based on hazmona, then no one would say that hewing stones out would be considered. Designation. The reason for that is the Gemara uses an expression. It's tovi la'ariga. This is a borrowed idea, borrowed from the beginning of the sugya. We spoke about the weaving of a beged for a mace, the preparation of a beged of an article of clothing, preparation of shrouds for a mace. And we saw there's a possibility that the mere weaving of it for the mace that would create prohibition for any other use, namely hazmona milsi. What would one say about the spinning of the flax in preparation of making the strings, the linen strings that are processed from flax? What would one say about the spinning of the strings for the purpose of weaving a beged that would eventually be used for a mace? So the Gemara says here, Tovi l'arigo mi iko l'manda omar. Would anyone say, even Abayi, would anyone say that such an early stage in the preparatory process would create prohibition, would create a new legal reality? No one would say that. Likewise, the hewing out of stones for the eventual construction of a grave, and having had someone in mind for that burial using those stones, no one would say that at that early point the stones become usser. So the only way to understand Rav Shimon Gamliel's position in this source has to do with the specific area of kibud av. Toshma, notice the triangle flipped over. So we're now going to see sources indicating hazmona lav milsa in a problem for Abaye. Kever chodosh muter bahano. A new grave is mutter for use. And the idea here, the havamina, is that even if this new grave was designated, was dug out with someone in mind, with a specific body to be buried. Hitil boi nefel, oser bahano. If a miscarriage was buried in this grave, then the grave would become forbidden for benefit. And the Gemara is medayik here, infers, hitil in, if the miscarriage was actually put in the grave, then that creates prohibition, lo hitil lo. If it wasn't actually put in there, then the mere designation would have had no effect, would not have created prohibition, and that's a kashan abaye. Abaye answers, hu hadin diafagav de lo hitil. The same law would apply even if the body was not placed in the grave, even if this miscarriage was not placed in the grave. So why does it mention the placing of the body of the miscarriage in there? Ulafuke midrashim ben Gamliel. this comes to the exclusion of his particular opinion, Diomar ein v'nefilim tfisas hakever. He is of the opinion that miscarriages are not significant enough to create grave designation. Komashmalon, this source comes to tell me otherwise, that miscarriages do have that power of creating grave designation and hence becoming prohibited. However, as far as the main sugi is concerned, as far as Abaye is concerned, the hitu bo nefel was not stated in this source for the purpose of inferring that had the nefel not been put in, it would have been mutter. Not so. Even if the nefel had not been put in, it still would have been usher because hazmona milsahi. So let's try again. Toshma. This source will talk about funds that were collected for the purpose of burials. Mosar Hamesim, the community collected charity for the purpose of Mesei Mitzvah, or for those are for found bodies that no one is going to take care of, or for the poor who die, for the deceased, the impoverished deceased, and money was collected, and there was a surplus at the end of the financial year. Extra money was left over. That money is lemesim, is to be used for other needs of the dead. Moiser hames, however, money was collected for a specific mace or specific deceased, as opposed to the ratio where money was collected in general for the purpose of Mesei Mitzvah. Here is a case where money was collected, as Rashi says, Moser Mase, Govu L'Shem Mase Ploni, money that was collected for a specific mase. Liyorshav is for his heirs. They can use it for their own benefit. This Seifel case is parallel to our general discussion of weaving a beged for a specific mase. Here, money was collected for a specific mase, for a specific deceased. And it says here that it doesn't become prohibited. So we see here that hazmona lav milsahi. The Gemara, Abaye responds, Hocha b'mayaskinon, this source is talking about shigavu mechayim, money that was collected while he was still alive. So it's not a function of a designation made for a deceased. That is the topic of hazmona. Here we're not dealing with something designated for a mace. The Gemara asks, but ha lo tani hachi, from further Tanaic literature, we don't see that this explanation is correct. In fact, we'll quote this Mishnah and superimpose on the Mishnah a Brisa, and that is contained in the following framed section of the Gemara. Tisnan, Moiser Hamesim Lemesim. Moiser Hames Liorshov. Notice, this is the same case that we just quoted. V'toniyalo, and a brisa that comments on this says, Ketzad. Govu l'mesim stam, money that was collected without a specific mace in mind. Zehu Moiser Hamesim l'mesim. That's the case of the Resha. Govu l'mes ze. Notice, we've dashed underlined the main expression that it serves as the question on the previously stated explanation. You see here, it was money that was collected not for a living person, but for a specific dead person. Zehu moiser hames liyoshov. That's the case of leftover money that was collected for a specific dead person, and that goes to his heirs for their personal benefit. So you see very clearly that hazmona lav milsahi, that the fact that it was collected for a specific dead person does not create a legal designation. This is a problem for Abaye. Uletameich emos eifa. Now Abaye retorts. He says, instead of asking on my position from the beginning of the source, look at the end of the source and you'll see actually a support for me. And it is as follows. Rabbi Meir Omer. Rabbi Meir is a continuation of the source that began with Moiser Hamesim Lemesim. The end of that source continues saying that Rabbi Meir holds, Rabbi Meir Omer, Lo Yiga Bohen Ad Sheyavo Elio. Money that was collected for a specific mace, Rabbi Meir says, do not touch them until Elio comes, who will then, we'll see further explanation as to Rabbi Meir's Shita, but suffice it to say that one is prohibited from using it. Rabbi Nosson Omer, Rabbi Yosson says, Yasenu Dimus Akivro, what you can do with the leftover money, it doesn't go to your show for their personal benefit, because that's not allowed. Rabbi Nelson says you can use the money to construct another row of stones on his grave, or for the purpose of sprinkling wine in front of the casket, which was a practice done at the time of funerals. But what do you see from here very clearly? These last two opinions, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Nelson, do not allow the money to be used for the personal benefit of the Yorshim. And that is in line with Abaye's approach that says, Hazmona, the designation, the fact that money was collected for a specific mace, it's limited to that purpose alone. Ella. Abaye metaretz letamei, verova metaretz letamei. Abaye and Rava, when confronting this source, will explain the entire source according to their opinions, each one respectively. You can see in the markings we have another bracketed section. The note by the asterisk says, Toichas Agrayim, Muzbar, Eich Abaye, Verova, Ma'amidim, Kol Hatanoim, Lefi Shitasam. We'll see, as we said, how Abaye and Rava set up the Tanaic opinions that we just saw, each one according to their opinions, their respective opinions. Achrei ha-sograyim, after the bracketed section, Agmor mamshicha lohavi makoros binyan hazmona. Agmor will continue with the general sugya in bringing sources concerning the topic of hazmona. That having been said, we can go through the Gemara. We can go through the Gemara straight without needing to skip the brackets. What we've done with the markings, you can see under the Mivneh heading, we feature the diamond, which emphasizes the word Dekule Alma, the expression that means that all opinions, Abaye will say, noticing the squiggle underline, Abaye Metaretz Tamei, he explains according to his approach, Hazmona Milsi, Dekule Alma, that everyone will hold, then Hazmona Milsi. If you skip down a few lines, you'll notice another diamond, that is at a point in the Gemara that Rava is saying that all authorities will agree with me that Hazmona Lav Milsihi. Naturally, according to Abaye, the main opinion that will need explanation will be the Tanakama. And that's because we saw the Tanakama saying that the leftover money collected for a specific mace was for the benefit of the Yorshim. According to Rava, the second two opinions, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Nosson, will need a special explanation because they reflect an opinion that Hazmona Milsihi, where Rava himself holds that it's not. So we turn to the Gemara. Abaye Metaretz L'Tamei. Abaye, who is an Amora, needs to have all the Tanoim on his side, if possible. So he says, the Kuli Almo Hazmona Milsihi. Everyone will agree that designation is of legal significance. Tanakama Savar, the Chozi Le Tofis, the Lo Chozi Le Lo Tofis. The Tanakama holds that the money that was fit, that was needed for the deceased, gains the legal prohibition of being used for other things. However, the extra money is, in our mind's eye, never really needed for the mace to begin with. And as a result of that, it naturally does not become prohibited. So what we can say is that the extra money is, as we just said, never designated for the deceased in the first place. So that doesn't come under the category of hazmona, of something designated for the dead. Rabbi Meir, what about Rabbi Meir's opinions? Well, he says not to touch the money. He's misafkale. He is in doubt. E tofis, e loy tofis. Does the prohibition take hold on the extra money or not? Hilkoch, because he's in doubt, lo yiga bohen achi yovo elio. We've also employed in our markings a double underline with dots in it to emphasize the main part of the explanation of each opinion. So we saw the Tanakama holding lo tofis. Now we see Rabbi Meir, who says misafkali, he's in a state of doubt, and hence he takes the conservative approach, don't get involved, don't touch it at all. Rabbi Nosson pshitole devadei tofes. And notice again, we've double underlined this expression. Devadei tofes means that the extra money that was not needed, that was not needed immediately for the dead's needs, nevertheless, the extra money gains the legal status of being prohibited. The hilkoch, as a result of the monies being now restricted and not available for the use of the heirs, yaseh dimus al kivro, make an extra row of stones on the over the grave. There's nothing else that the money can be used for. The Rava Metaris Latame, Rava who held Hazmona Lav Milsa, says, Dekule Almo, Hazmona Lav Milsi, just like he says, that all the Tanaim agree that the designation does not take effect. Now, as far as Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Nosson are concerned, that they are restrictive all the same, it is not a function of Hazmona Milsihi, but the restriction is based on something else. Tanakama Sovar Ki bozu lei. Bozu has to do with bizoyon, someone going through embarrassment or defaming. The mace, since money was collected for him specifically, indicating he didn't have his own funds, if you will. So this creates a sense of bizoyon, of disparagement. So at the point that he goes through the disparagement, Achule Mochil Ziluse Gabi Yorshim, he is willing to yield, forfeit, so to speak, the embarrassment. While he's alive, of course, he's willing to forfeit the anticipated embarrassment in favor of the heirs, that even though I will go through embarrassment, so to speak, as figures the man, he says, even though I'll go through this embarrassment, I still want my heirs to benefit from the leftover funds. Rabbi Meir, misafkale I mochil I lo mochil. Rabbi Meir is in doubt whether a person is really willing to forfeit this embarrassment or not. And on the side that no, the person figures, if I have to go through this embarrassment, then I don't want that money to be used for anything else. Hilkoch lo yiga bohen. Therefore, since we have a doubt about this, don't touch the money, don't use it for anything else. Rabbi Noson pshita le de lo mochil. Notice, of course, we've used our double underlining to emphasize the main points of each approach. Rabbi Meir says, certainly not mochi, certainly doesn't forfeit his disparagement. And as a result of that, the person figures, if I have to go through this disparagement of money needing to be collected for me, then I don't want the money to be used for anything else. Hilkoch yase dimus al kivro, therefore the only thing left to do with it is to leave to use the money for building a row of stones over his grave, or o ziluf lifnei mitasa, or for sprinkling of wine during the funeral. The Gemara continues, Toshma. Notice the triangle is pointing downwards, so this will be in the direction indicating Hazmona Lav Milsahi. Hoyu Ovi Vimo Mizakin Boy Kalim. An unfortunate situation where parents lost a child. And out of deep grief, the parents who were participating in their child's funeral started to throw clothing onto the body. Mitzvah al achirim lahatzilan. It would be meritorious for others to save the clothing. Because once the clothing become associated or attached to the body, the clothing become usher to benefit from. Let us take a look at the Rashi. Second line from the bottom. Mizakin boy kelim, zorkin bigdeim alov. These parents were throwing their clothing toward the their deceased child because of their love. And these clothing were beyond what was necessary for the burial. In other words, there was all, the body was already cloaked in shrouds. Machmas tsaron miskavna asur is kol mamonim alovin. Out of their intense despair and sorrow, they had in mind to create an iser on all of their possessions. In other words, to create a prohibition on all of their possessions. So Rashi continues, mitzvah al achirim haruyin oisam. Any the bystanders that see this happening, lahatzilam, to save them. For litlan me olov, and to take the clothing from on top of the body, these extra clothing. The ein hashavas aveda gadol mizeh. There is no greater form of returning of lost items than this. Alma hasmona lav milsa hi. We see from here that designation does not create prohibition. The e milsa hi. If designation would be of significance, lekla hatzola, there would be no point of return. There would be no saving of these clothing. The Gemara answers, Abaye would answer, the fact that the clothing is mutter is because there wasn't even hazmona. There wasn't actual designation for the purpose of the body. Hasa mishumurayu, all of their behavior there was out of bitterness. And as Rashi says, at the top, mitoch tsaron heinosin kein, the ein zu hazmona, acts done out of bitterness, does not come under the category of designation. The Gemara asks, ihochi, Hainu de Kotoni Allah, if that be the case, then how do we understand the following source that is a continuation of this topic? Omar Abshimamlio, Bamed Vamurim, Shalo Nagu Bamita. This is true that the clothing can be saved as long as the clothing did not contact the coffin or the bed, the stretcher on which the body is located. Aval Nagu Bamita, if the clothing came into contact with the coffin, then Asurim, then those clothing become forbidden. Now, if you're going to use the explanation just offered that all of this is a function of acts done out of bitterness, then why should the clothing become usher if they touch the mita? The Gemara answers, to understand Rav Shmuel Amliel, we offer the following explanation. Tirgum Ula explains this, the mita hanikberes imoi. We're talking about a if we use the term coffin, so naturally one would understand that it's buried with the mace, but if you talk in terms of a stretcher that the body was covered on, we're talking here about a case of a stretcher, of a bed or a stretcher that is to be buried with the body. The machlefi betachriche hamace, that there could be a sense of confusion with the basic shrouds themselves. Hence, Rav Shmuel Amliel takes a restrictive approach so as to make no mistake. If the clothing that are thrown actually touch the coffin, if they would be allowed, people would come to the mistaken conclusion that even the shrouds of a corpse are mutter bahano. So he comes in with this restrictive approach, saying that since we're talking about a mita that's buried with the mace, people will then realize that anything that's associated with the mace itself is usur and won't come to any erroneous conclusions. But we must make it clear that Rav Shmuel Amliel's consideration is not a function of a general idea known as hazmona milsa. Toshma, we continue in the attempts to bring proofs with the triangle pointing up. So we will see a source indicating hazmona milsa. Kis sha'asoy laniach boi tefillin, osur laniach boi mos. A pouch that was made for the purpose of storing tefillin in it, one cannot use it for change, for cash, for money. Hi niach boi tefillin, if tefillin were simply placed in this pouch, without any designation, yaniach boi mos, cash can be placed in this pouch. What we see from this source, especially with the dashed underlines, was aso, was made for the tefillin, and we dash on the word osir. That's hazmona milsa. Rava will answer, emo aso oi vihiniach boi tefillin osir laniach bo mos. Kidrav chista, you should understand this source as saying that if it were made and actually used as well, then it would be prohibited for using for coins, just like we saw Rav Chisda's approach on Omer Aleph. But the mere placing in it alone, without it's designated for that purpose, would be mutter, like Rav Chisda said. Rav Chisda said, Tzor bei velo azmane, it's still mutter. Toshma, we again see a triangle with the point facing down. This will indicate that hazmona lav milsahi. If we just looked at the dashed underlined words, one can already gain a sense of the meaning. Notice we have the word osa, that is parallel, it was made for, it's like designated, and we dash on it, mutter, bohen, choil. It was made for something of holiness, and still, even though it was made for use of holy items, it's still mutter to use for mundane matters. That would indicate that hazmona is lav milsahi. So let's see the source. Omar Le'uma, someone said to a craftsman, Asay li tik shel sefer, o nartik shel tfilin, make for me a case for a sefer Torah, or a pouch for storing tefillin, ad shaloi nishtamish ben kodesh, until it's actually used for the holy items, mutar lishtamish bahen choil, it would be permitted to use it for mundane purposes. Nishtamish bahen kodesh, if it were used for something of holiness, osur lishtamish bahen choil, then it's prohibited to use it for mundane matters. But, as we emphasized, we see from the Resha that if something was made for holy purposes and not actually used, it remains mutter. What is Abaye going to do now? So, he points out Tanoihi. The whole issue, this topic, is the subject of a Machlokas Tanoim, so I will have someone to base my opinion on at the end of the day. Tisanya, we have a source featuring Tefillin. It says here, Tzipon Zohov. If the tefillin were coated or covered in gold, o shetola alehem or shelbehema tameya, or they were encased in leather made from a forbidden animal, an unkosher variety animal, psulos, those tefillin are not to be used. They're not acceptable. How does one prepare tefillin? One has a parchment with the passages of the Torah written on it, and those are encased in boxes, if you will, batim, that are made from the skins of kosher variety animals, or behema tahoros, tahora ksheros, afalpi shelo ibdon lishman. If the tefillin are encased in leather boxes made from kosher variety animals, then the tefillin are acceptable, and here's the main point, even if the leather was not ibdon, tanned, even if it was not tanned, lishmon, with the lofty purpose of the eventual prepared skins being used for tefillin. According to the first opinion, the fact that it was not tanned makes no difference, because in his opinion, hazmona, the designation of something lav milsi, has no significance, so that the lack of its being designated for tefillin doesn't create any loss, so to speak, doesn't create any deficiency. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, af or behemot tahara, even if it's leather made from kosher variety animal skins, psulos, they're not acceptable, ad shi'abdu lishmon, until they're tanned, even in the preparatory stages, in the tanning process, they are prepared with tefillin in mind, for use for tefillin. And that's a function of hazmona, designation, milsi, is of significance. And if that designation is lacking, then the tefillin are not going to be acceptable. Omer le Ravina Larova. Ravina raises a detailed question, a question focusing on a detail. Abaye and Rava were arguing about a case involving the weaving of a beged, the preparation of shrouds for a specific mace. In simple terms, what is the situation? There's a dead body, and there are no shrouds around. In other words, there's someone lying there, and we still need to do very basic things in preparation of his burial. And that seems a little bit odd. that a body would be lying around while we're waiting for shrouds to be prepared. So Ravina asks, is there any duchta place, the Ramu Beimes, that a body is lying there, the Argi Beged Lemes, and only then they start weaving the shrouds for that deceased? Amale, Rava answers, in there are places like that, Kagoin Shachvi the Harpanya, like the dead in the town of Harpanya. Harpanya is the name of a place that was populated by had a very impoverished population. So they didn't have any funds to have a supply or an inventory of shrouds ahead of time. Dorash Mreimar Hilchasokavose da Abaye. Mreimar publicized that the topic of Hazmona Milsa will go like Abaye. Rabbonan Amri Hilchasokavose da Rava. And the other authorities disagreed with Mreimar. The Hilchasa and the Gemara concludes Kavase de Rava. That would mean that Hazmona lav milsahi. We now have a slash in the Gemara. This indicates that the upcoming Gemara is of a new thought. The topic heading on the outside margin, we have a topic heading with a structural note. The double underline that will appear in the upcoming source is featured, Haruge Malchus, Haruge Bezdin. You have those people that are killed by the government, sentenced to death by the government. That's a function of possibly a rebellious population, and rebellious individuals, and the king's executing them, and Haruge Bezdin, people that are sentenced to death because of averis committed. The issue will be nichsehem lemi, the properties of those executed individuals, who will benefit from them. Tanu Rabbanan, haruge malchus nichsehem lemelech, haruge beis din nichsehem liyorshim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af haruge malchus, even those that are killed by the king, nichsehem liyorshim, the heirs are entitled to benefit from those properties. Amrule, Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbonan, who held that the property of those executed by the king go to the king, they address Rabbi Yehuda and says, "Valok var ne'amar." There is a pasuk that says, this pasuk is from the story of Achav, who sentenced to death a gentleman by the name of Novos, because Novos was unwilling to sell his vineyard to the king. So the pasuk there says, "Hinei bekerem Novos." Asher Yorad Shom Lerishtoi. Achav was standing in the vineyard of Novos that he went there to take over Lerishto. So in simple terms, the Novos being executed by the king, the property of Novos went to the king. That's like the Rabbanan. Omar Lahen, Rabbi Yehuda responds, that is not a simple case of someone from the general public, his property being taken over by the king upon the individual's execution. Ben Achi Oviv Hoya, Novos was a first cousin to Achav, the Roy Lior Shohoya, and as such, Achav was in the line of inheritance. So the story of Novos actually is a case of Haruge Malchus Liorshov. Question, Vahalo Harbe Bonim Hoyulo, but Novos had numerous sons. If that be the case, so Achav was not in the line of inheritance. In other words, the next in line would be his sons. Omar Lahen, Rabbi Yehuda says back, Oso Vies Bonov Horag. Achav killed not only Novos himself, but he killed off those sons of his as well. Shenemar Imloi Es Demei Novos Ves Demei Bonov Roisi. We've dashed underlined the expression, the names Novos and the word Bonov, so we see that Achav killed them all. And Novos, being a first cousin, says Rabbi Yehuda, was in the line of inheritance. So we do not see an example from the Achav Novos story of Haruge Malchus that the Nechosim go to Lamelech, but if anything, we see, like I say, says Rabbi Yehuda, that it goes Liorshav. And Achav being himself an heir. The Rabbonan, who argued in this source that Novos had many sons, what about the pasuk that says that the sons were killed? The Rabbonan say, "Hahu Bonim Horeuyin Lotseis Mimeno. The Pasuk described that the blood of Navas and the blood of his sons aren't his actual sons. These were sons in potential. And since Navas was killed, that thereby preventing any further sons being born from him. But the Rabbanan say he had actual sons. And even so, Achav took over the property, and that's what the Rabbanan held, that Haruge Malchus, their property goes to the king. As we continue in the Gemara, we have another geometric form. We have a house with a colored in tip. The house form with that darkened in tip is indicated on the side, Bishlamo Nichsein Lemelech. We'll see here a couple stages in the Gemara where the opinion that says that the Haruge Malchus, the properties of those executed individuals, go to the king is more likely. And then we'll see how the other opinion responds. Bishlamo Laman de Omar Nichsem Lamelech, Hainu Dichtiv, Beirach Novois Elokim Vomelech. In the Novos story, Novos was put to death on the grounds that he, as far as this pasuk is concerned, the witnesses testified against him, saying that he cursed God and the king. So, as a result of his behavior, according to this testimony, he cursed the king. He was a moreid b'malchus, and hence deserved execution. Ela leman de'omar nichseim liyorshim. According to the approach that said that the one executed by the king, the property is taken over by his heirs, specifically Rabbi Yehuda held that Achav was a Yoresh, he was an heir and hence in the line of inheritance. What is the significance of that testimony that he cursed the king? Lomali Vomelech. Why is that necessary? It would have been enough had the witnesses come in and testified that he cursed God, and as such, he would be Chayav Misa, and as a result of his being executed on those grounds, Achav would take over the property as an heir. So the question at this point is posed to Rabbi Yehuda. So now Rabbi Yehuda responds, Uletamech, according to you who are asking on me, Elokim Lomali, why was it necessary to mention in the testimony that he cursed God? According to you, that the property of the one executed by the Malchus goes to the Malchus. If it were so that he cursed the king, he would be considered a moreid b'malchus, and the property would go to the king. Why was it necessary to bring in this element as well, the element of cursing God? Elo lafushe rischa. You'll have to say that it was there simply to add to the heat of the matter, to increase the severity of Novos' behavior, as according to these witnesses. Hachinami, so too, according to me, that which reference was made to the cursing of the king, even though it wasn't actually necessary, it's lafushe rischa. It's to increase the level of wrath and anger toward Novos, but not to create a designation of being a death at the hands of the monarchy. Continuing, Bishlamo Lamadom Nichseim Lamelech, according to the approach that says that those that are killed by the king because of Morei B'Malchus, Hainu Tichtiv Vayonos Yoyev El Oyel Hashem Vayachzeik B'Karnois HaMizbeach, that Yoav ran to the Mizbeach and held upon the corner of the Mizbeach, Uksiv, and Yoav, who was being pursued by the king's authorities, he ran to the Mizbeach, and it says, Vayomer Lo Kipoy Omus, I'm not leaving, I'm going to die over here. In other words, I'm not willing to subject myself to being killed by the king. if you want to kill me here. And I'm not going to be judged by the king as a rebellious one, and hence a morei b'malchus. What was Yoav trying to gain by staying at the Mizbeach and saying, kill me here, and I'm not to be judged by the king? He was trying to gain that the property, his property that remains, would not fall to the hands of the king. So we see from here that he was tried by the king and executed by the king, the property would have gone to the king. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that the property of he who is executed by the king goes to the victim's heirs anyway, my nafkale mina, of what benefit, what difference does it make to Yoav where he's killed? Even if he were killed by the king, the property would remain in his family. The answer is l'chaye shah. He was trying to buy time. He was trying to live a little bit longer. Rashi explains l'chaye shah d'chuyei ba'almahu, merely pushing them off, ad shiyashivu advarim l'shlomo v'yavo, until they would go back to Shlomo HaMelech, who was the one in pursuit of Yoav, report to Shlomo, and then come back to where Yoav was. Vayoshev Binayohu es HaMelech Davor Lemor. Binayohu, who was the acting as emissary on behalf of Shlomo, returned to the king, saying, Ko diber Yoav, v'ko onani. Thusly said Yoav, and thusly I answered. The Rashi points out, Ko diber Yoav ko anani, mashma diber vaniya harbe, ukra ki po amus hudichti vesulo. From the pasuk we just read, there seems to be quite a bit of discussion. But from the previous pasuk where Yoav said, I'm going to die here, it seems that that's all he said. Elohochi komar le. Rather, the following is what was actually said in that interchange. Tarti lo tavidle, two things you cannot do to me, as will be explained right now in the Gemara. Omar le, Yoav said to Binayohu, who was acting as the king's emissary to get him from the Mizbeach and bring him to be tried by the king. So Yoav said to Binayohu, Zil emole, you go tell the king, Tarti lo tavid bahai gavra. Bahai Gavra is a euphemism referring to himself, meaning two things you will not be able to do to me. Before we go on in the Gemara, let us take a look at the topic heading that we've provided here on the side, the Nosei, Shlomo Horeg Es Yoav. Shlomo is going to execute Yoav, Utmuroso, and in exchange for that, Mekabelis Beis David, Klolos Shekilo David Es Yoav. The Beis David, the subsequent generations coming forth from the kingdom of David, will absorb curses that King David had cursed Yoav previously. So we are now in the Gemara leading up to that point. Yoav says to Benoel that two things you cannot do to me. E katlisle, if you decide to kill me, kabul latuse delat yavuch, then you, Shlomo, shall absorb the curse that your father David cursed me, the Eloi. If not, if you don't kill me, then Shavke, the Leku, Belatuse, the Latye Avuch, then leave him be, meaning on himself, leave him, Yoav, that he shall absorb the curses. Vayomer lo Hamelech, Ase Kasher Diber, Ufga Bo Ukvarto. The Shlomo ordered, kill him and bury him. If that be the case, then according to the terms that Yoav set up, if he be killed, then the curses are transferred over to David HaMelech's own descendants. Amar Vira Marav, Kol Klolos Shekilo David Es Yoav, Niskaimu Bezaru Shel David. All of the curses that Yoav was cursed were actually fulfilled in the descendants of David. The pasuk we now read will feature the curses that Yoav was cursed, and as we go on in the Gemara, we'll notice the use of diamonds, and that's explained in the outside margin, the Mivneh, Sidra, Shel, Klolos, a series of curses, the Al Mi Naflu, and upon whom they eventually fell. So the original curse that was said to Yoav is as follows. Al Yikores Mi Beis Yoav, there will not cease from the house of Yoav, Zav Umetzora, Umachzik Bapelech, V'noifel Bacherev, V'chasar Lechem. Each one of these items, points, we'll discuss as we go on. zav. Zav is a form of tuma, certain body fluids that are emitted, and this phenomenon was, we see me Rechavam. From Rechavam, the son of Shlomo experienced this. Dechtiv Amelech Rechavam his amitz lalos ba'merkovo lanus Yerushalayim. The pasuk says that that Rechavam strained himself to arise to sit in the merkova, the chariot, or the vehicle, in order to escape Yerushalayim. The word Merkava is dashed on the line because of the following. Uksiv, v'chol ha-merkav asher yirkav alav hazov yitma. The pasuk featuring the impurity that is conveyed by Azav features in the pasuk Merkav. For our purposes, it's just necessary to see the word comparison. We see Rechavam associated with Merkava, and the posuk featuring Zav, featuring the word Merkav, indicating that Rechavam experienced Ziva. With our dashed underline, we've dashed underline the key terms. We see Rechavam is dashed line with the word Merkava, and the word Zav is dashed line together with Merkav, hence enabling us to associate Rechavam with Zav. Mitzora is another form of skin disease, we'll say, that imparts a high level of impurity, of tuma. This is learned from Me'uziyahu. Dichtiv Uchechezkosoi Gova liboy ad lahashris, vayim al bashem alakov, vayovoy el hechal Hashem, lahaktir al mizbach akturas. This posuk describes the king Uzziah, who, for him, it wasn't enough that he was a king. He also wanted to practice the practices of the Kohen, and he actually went into the Beis Hamikdash to offer the akturas, which was something that only the Kohen would do. Uksiv v'hatzoras zorcho b'mitzcho. As a result of his behavior, that of Uzziah's behavior, tzoras broke forth on his forehead. But as we mentioned before, the focusing on the dashed underline, you see tzoras associated with Uzziah. Machzik b'pelech. This indicates holding a stick to lean on because of a foot ailment. This is Me'asa. We see this by a further descendant of the house of David, King Asa. Dechtiv, rak le'zignasu chola al raglav. He became ill, having experienced foot ailment. The Omer of Yehuda Marav, she'ofsoi putgura. The ailment's name that took hold of him was is called putgura. Notice we have a bracketed section. The note that explains the brackets says, Achrei hasugrayim hemshech sidras haklos. After the bracketed section, the Gemara will continue with the series of curses. Besocham, within the bracketed section, muvo harchavo v'inyan pudgura. Be a bit more elaboration on this particular topic of the foot ailment of padgura. That having been said, let's go read the Gemara straight through now. Omer le marzutra breder of Nachman the Rav Nachman. Hei chidomi. What are the symptoms, or how does one describe this ailment called pudgura? Amale, Rav Nachman answered his son. He said, "Kemachad b'vsar hachai." It's the same type of pain that one experiences by having a needle piercing live flesh. V'no yada. How does Rav Nachman know that? So the Gemara will offer a series of explanations how Rav Nachman could have known that. Iboy seimo mecha shave chayish bay, that Rav Nachman himself suffered from it. Iboy seimo me rabbe have gomer lo, he had this as a tradition from his master, from his teacher. Iboy seimo soid Hashem lirev ubrisoy lahoidiyam, that things that are apparent, that are seemingly unknown, that are secrets are revealed to those that fear Hashem. Hence, if you ask how did Rav Nachman knew it, he knew it because he was a God-fearing individual and was able to understand things even without actually having experienced it firsthand, or without having actually been taught it directly. Going back to the curses that we saw above, Noifel Bacherev, someone who was the curse of being killed by the sword, that happened to Yoshio. It happened to King Yoshio, the Chtiv, Vayeru Lemelch Yoshio. He was speared, he was shot at, Vayomer Avira Marav, Sha'aso, Asu, Kol, Gufo, Kvara. He was speared by so many spears that his body was penetrated, looking like a sieve. The Choser Lechem, poverty, Miyachonya, from a later king, another further descendant of the house of David, Dichtiv. The pasuk describing Yechonya says, "Va'aruchoso aruchas tomid nitnolo," that his daily meal was given to him, was provided to him by Nebuchadnezzar. He had nothing of his own. Omar Rav Yehuda Marav, Hainu Diamri Inchi. From this story, we come to the following conclusion: Tehe luta, velo tehe lota. Rashi at the top says, Tehe lota velo lota, noach lo lechol yos min hamekulalim velo min hamekalim. Better to be ones who are cursed than being those who issue curses. Lefishasof kilas chinam loshuv el hamekalel. Because in the final analysis, the curse, the baseless curse, actually boomerangs and affects and curses the one who issued the curse in the first place. And of course, we'd like to end on a positive note, and as we know, that those who engage in blessing themselves receive blessing, as we see in Parshas Lech Lecha with regard to Avram Avinu. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.